Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Romans 5 and verse 1. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No person that says he believes the Bible can honestly deny that we are saved by faith in Christ. This was written by an inspired apostle named Paul to those that composed the church at Rome. It was a message of salvation, a message of justification. It was the way of peace with God. It showed how and by whom the spiritual blessings are obtained. As John had written the words of Christ, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus said in John 8:24, "I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Paul wrote in Romans 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek." Dear friends, salvation is by faith, but that's not the entire story of salvation. Had Paul said that salvation is by faith alone or faith only, that would have given us a genuine and unsolvable contradiction of Scripture. Because James wrote, "By works is a man justified, and not by faith only." James 2, verse 24. Romans 5, 9 teaches that we're justified by his blood. Why, that would be an error if we're justified by faith alone. And even though some preach salvation by faith only, the only time that phrase appears in the Bible where faith and only appear together in terms of salvation is where one inspired writer says, "It's not that way." The inconsistency of the doctrine is seen when those who teach also teach salvation by grace, by prayer, by repentance. I once heard Billy Graham teach that salvation is by believing, repenting, and confessing Christ and being humble. Now, most people who teach salvation by faith only reject the necessity of baptism. But they'll include the necessity of love and confession and repentance. When you hold to such a false doctrine and are so inconsistent, dear friend, isn't that not a betrayal of your attitude toward the truth? If salvation is by all things in addition to faith, why exclude baptism, which is so plainly taught repeatedly in the Bible? And when Paul teaches that we're saved by faith, what kind of faith is he considering? Do you realize the Bible presents to us different kinds of faith? In Matthew 8:28, "O ye of little faith." In Matthew 8 and verse 10, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." In Romans 14:1, "Him that is weak in faith." Abraham waxed strong through faith, Romans 4:20. "Faith apart from works is dead," James 2 and verse 26. "By works was faith made perfect," James 2:22. Friend, faith that is made perfect or whole and complete is a faith that works, a faith that produces obedience. The faith that saves is the faith that obeys. In the very epistle where Paul teaches that we're saved and justified by faith, Romans 5:1, he spoke of the obedience of faith, Romans 1 and verse 5, the obedience of faith, Romans 16 verse 26. It is evident that Paul speaks of a faith that obeys, and that's what is commanded. Otherwise, it's not a saving faith. Now let us determine even more certainly the meaning of the phrase "by faith," because that's the very phrase Paul used in our text. And we turn to Hebrews 11, where the phrase "by faith" occurs repeatedly. And in this chapter, our attention is called to some of the outstanding people and events of the Old Testament. Hebrews 11 and verse 4 says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh." Now Romans 10 verse 17 tells us that faith comes of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Abel's sacrifice was offered by faith. Therefore, we know that God instructed him what to do, and he did what God instructed. Everything that was included in offering the sacrifice was included in the phrase, by faith. By faith means more than simply believing what God said. It involves doing what God said. Notice that Abel acted, not simply a mental assent to the truth that God had instructed him. By faith, Abel offered. Faith includes obedient action. But once again in Hebrews, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith." Now, we do not know how long it took Noah to build the ark. There is the indication that 120 years was spent in preaching and giving time of reprieve to people after God decided to destroy the wickedness of man. But regardless of how long it took Noah, everything that he did was included in by faith. What if God had warned Noah and then Noah said, "God, I believe you, but I do not think that I need to build this ark"? Do you think Noah would have been saved? Do you think he could have been saved by his faith alone? The Bible says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he," Genesis 6:22. The finished ark and the ultimate salvation of Noah included his confidence and trust in the word of God delivered to him and his obedience to what that word directed. By faith included obedience to God's commands and the meeting of God's conditions. And when a Christian reaches heaven, it will be by faith. Everything necessary to get to heaven is included in the phrase, by faith. In Hebrews 11 and verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go up into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went." Now, I want you to notice the passage says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed." Obedience is an act of faith. His faith would have been useless if he had not acted. His faith was perfected because he acted. His faith took him from the Ur of Chaldee to the land of Palestine. The phrase "by faith" includes every step he made in that journey. His obedience was not a work of merit, but it was a necessary work of obedience. In Hebrews 11, 17 and 18 also speaks of Abraham. "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Now the full account of the trial of Abraham is found in Genesis chapter 22. But the point we want to study here is that Abraham offered Isaac by faith. By faith. Friend, that's the same phrase used in Romans 5 and verse 1 that teaches us how we are justified, how we are saved. Just what was involved in this action of Abraham? Why, he took Isaac, he laid him on the altar, he lifted his knife. Everything that was done during that heart-rending episode was said to have been done by faith. Now consider the plain teaching of James regarding this same Abraham. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?" James 2:21 and 22. It becomes clear that there is an inseparable connection between faith and works of obedience. Over and over, we're impressed that the faith that saves is the faith that obeys what God directs. And I suppose one of the easiest examples of saving faith to understand is also found here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Verse 30 reads, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days." Now there is no doubt that the walls fell by faith. The matter of concern is when the walls fell by faith. Did the walls fall by faith alone? Why, absolutely not. They fell by faith upon the obedience to the commands God gave regarding the marching around the walls one time each day for 6 days and seven times the seventh day. If Israel had not obeyed those commands, their faith would have profited them nothing. Are we to think that Joshua and the Israelites could have responded, "Now, Lord, we believe in your power. We know that you will do as you have said. Of this we have complete confidence. But this marching business is too much. It does not seem to have any connection with removing the walls. So we expect to enter Jericho by faith alone." Why, we all suspect that the walls would have stood and Israel would have been turned away. Why cannot people see that salvation is by faith, but that faith includes meeting the conditions God has specified, such as repentance and confession of Christ and baptism into Christ for the remission of sins? Doing these things is not denying salvation by faith. It is proving the faith is a saving faith. Faith is made perfect and whole and complete by our obedience. I ask you, when did the walls fall? It was after the people obeyed. When is one saved by faith? It is after one does what God commands. And dear skeptical denominational friend, that includes baptism. The last example that I mentioned demonstrates the meaning of by faith is in verse 29 of Hebrews 11. "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned." Now this turns our attention to the record in Exodus 14 and the deliverance from Egypt. Some contend that baptism is not included in the phrase by faith. But baptism was included in that phrase in this instance. Israel was not saved from Egypt the moment they believed that God could and would deliver them. Not only were they not saved that moment that they believed, their enemy was not destroyed the moment they believed. All of these blessings were theirs only when they reached the other side of the sea. Everything that it took to get from one side of the sea to the other was done by faith. Friend, notice, something was done. Israel had to go into the midst of the sea with the walls of water on either side and the cloud above them. They were completely submerged beneath the dual substance of the cloud and the sea. Paul says they were baptized in the cloud and the sea, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. And just as John used water as the element when he baptized Jesus, and Philip used water when he would baptize the Ethiopian, and Peter used water when he baptized Cornelius at his house, the Israelites were baptized in the cloud and the sea. Paul says it was by faith. The phrase by faith included action, including baptism. There can be no question in the minds of honest people that that is the case. Let us summarize the major points of truth that we have learned. In every instance in Hebrews 11, the phrase by faith involved more than just mental assent and trust and agreement and confidence. It included action. It involved obedience to whatever command God had given, whether it was a sacrifice, building the ark, offering a son, marching around the walls, or being baptized in the cloud and the sea. Now, Paul teaches that we're saved by faith. That includes whatever God has commanded regarding salvation. Paul never taught, nor did any other inspired teacher ever teach, that we're saved by faith alone or faith only. There never has been a more deceptive doctrine, and it's false to the core. And yet, that is the dominant doctrine of salvation among most denominations. It just shows how much disrespect for the Word of God some have. We have also learned that salvation or justification is by faith. It includes baptism, just as by faith included baptism with the Israelites at the Red Sea. In order to be justified and enjoy with God and Christ the peace that's offered, we must make our faith perfect by our obedience to the conditions God has given for the reception of the gift of salvation. Otherwise, our faith will be a dead faith, and a dead faith cannot and will not save anybody. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.